Welcome to the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. I'm Sirte Pihlaja, your host, the CEO at Shirute and the CXP Finland head of team. In this series, we explore how artificial intelligence is reshaping customer and employee experiences, addressing the innovations, ethical questions, and strategies essential for navigating the world of artificial intelligence. Join us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe to follow us on your favorite platform. Today, we're diving into AI regulation and corporate responsibility, focusing on the role of regulations like the new EU AI Act. While much of the conversation around the Act has centered on compliance and potential risks, we'll be exploring its real-world impact on organizations, their culture, management, and innovation in customer and employee experience. Our aim is to provide actionable insights on moving from ethical principles to practical implementation, helping companies leverage AI responsibly to create positive, lasting change. But let's start by introducing our guest today. I'm thrilled to welcome Susanna Mäkelä, a distinguished legal advisor at Laissa Boutique Law Firm. Susanna brings a wealth of experience in technology, law, AI governance, data management, and cybersecurity. Her career spans roles at global giants like Nokia and Microsoft, where she has worked across diverse regions, including Finland, the US, Japan, and Belgium. With her proactive business-focused approach, Susanna excels in guiding organizations through the complexities of AI governance and ethical compliance. Her expertise spans navigating legal challenges and fostering readiness for technological shifts, making her a pivotal voice in responsible AI and ethical innovation. One we're fortunate to have with us today. So welcome, Susa. Can you please start by introducing yourself, Susa? Tell us a little bit about your background on how you got into artificial intelligence and sustainability and all these.
Sure. I think it's just a natural pivot towards this area because I've been working a lot in the ICT sector, whether they are software, telecoms, mobile phones, cloud, you name it. So it's kind of natural interest towards this type of technology. But also I've been a strong advocate for quite many years already for the fact that legal profession, as any profession, is going to have a shift because of technology. And I think now specifically we have that time when the artificial intelligence is going to bring us a lot of new benefits to help us transform as professions. And I'm super, super excited about that.
So today we're talking about AI regulation and corporate responsibility, the effects and opportunities of regulations such as the new EU AI Act. Mouthful there. Let's start by painting the big picture first. Can you maybe introduce us to the concept of responsible AI, what that means, and particularly maybe in the context of customer and employee experiences? How does responsible AI work to protect the rights of consumers and employees and citizens alike?
Well, a few years back, I think most were discussing in the context of ethical principles and ethical AI. But I think Microsoft started to bring more forward the responsible AI concept, mostly from the point of view that it's larger concept, it's broader than just ethical principles, because in fact, when you start applying AI and thinking through your whole life cycle of product and solutions, you do have to address multiple different aspects and values in that respect. So it's not only ethical, but also responsible in a sense that how does it actually showcase in the society, not just the consumers and the employees, but the society at large, and how the technology can support that and have a place in there. So that's one aspect. The responsible AI, I definitely see it from the point of view that any organization today who wishes to use AI internally, but mostly, particularly if you want to provide externally any solutions and products, you have to really pay attention to this because people will not use any solution or product that they do not trust. So I think it all starts from that, and that's the customer promise you also need to kind of keep in mind that you won't have customers if they don't trust you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's where it starts, I would say.
Okay. Can you maybe please describe shortly the key points of that we need to understand as CX professionals about the EU AI Act and
Okay, yeah, it's over 100 pages long, so maybe we'll just keep it on a high level, not going into details. But
Yes,
the
please.
yeah, I think that the first point to kind of keep in mind when you think about the EU AI Act, I mean, it's something you can't avoid. It's a law in that respect that it comes to every member state, and every member state are now implementing the act that became in force in July this year. The first use cases which are prohibited, they actually become effective in February 2025. So that's already when the first aspects of that legislations are going to be effective for all the providers and deployers. Now, I think the first thing when you think about it is that whenever we are doing a product and solutions utilizing an AI system, when we think about it through the intent of that act, and the act is intended to protect the fundamental human rights and provide safety to the market. So when you think through your solutions, keeping that basic principle in mind, you already start to implement some aspects of the needed actions that are related to the act itself. So the act is having several categories, risk categories, those that are forbidden, that I just noted that come in force early part of next year. Then there are high risk use cases, which are something that you can do provided that you actually follow through certain requirements from the act. And then you have a couple of other categories which are more in a minimal risk category with certain requirements that you have to put in place if your product or solutions fall under that category. And then there's a separate bucket for the Gen AI itself. So that's in high level. It provides certain requirements that the provider, a deployer, need to put in place and have to confirm depending on the risk category. And then even register their product or solution if they fall into the high-risk category.
You mentioned high-risk AI systems and that category that intrigued me to ask about the legal implications of using these high-risk AI systems in different kind of sectors that are directly affecting CX and EX, like healthcare or for customers or recruitment for employees.
That's true. So high-risk category is particularly focused on medical devices, lifts, vehicles. These are typically products that fall under the existing harmonized rules in EU. So those providers who are already being regulated through the harmonized regulations should pay attention. Then the other bucket of the high risk category is those that are actually listed in the Annex 3, going more detail on education, HR and worker management, recruitment, certain law enforcement related, border control, immigration, access to certain type of services like finance and insurance, administration of justice, elections, emotion recognitions, biometric identifications, and such. That
Well,
really, yeah, I mean, it feels like, oh my, it's a lot. But if you really think about the intent of the regulation, that you're expected to protect the fundamental rights. So if your solution is impacting somebody's rights, that's already like a red flag. You need to pause and think.
that's for sure. We also had the Data Act that came into force a while back. I would say that how would this AI act, how does it compare to the GDPR in terms of complexity and enforcement?
Well, obviously, AI Act does not replace any existing regulations such as GDPR. So you have to follow the GDPR as well. And GDPR has certain elements enabling AI. So you have to really implement them both, whether it's a Data Act or Data Governance Act, DMA or any other. So it's not that you're replacing one one regulation with another one, so
It
you
comes on
have to
top
follow
of
them
it.
through. Yeah.
True.
And that surely that increases the complexity. I think the complexity mostly now becomes from the fact that you have to do hard work. So you really have to, in a good way, you have to make sure that your products and solutions are being developed and built privacy by design, AI by design, security by design, accessibility by design. When you have that mentality in your organization and you already start working that way, you kind of start guiding your actions to the right directions. And I think that's one of the core principles behind the intent.
So it's a good intent there. What would you say are the most significant legal challenges in the EU Act that it presents for companies? Or maybe if you can walk us through some of the AI-specific legal challenges that companies face today in general, not maybe necessarily focusing on the Act itself. What should everybody take into account?
I think based on my past 20 years of experience, I think no matter what the regulation is and when it's having such a significant impact on the on different organizations, I think the fact that you have a culture in the organization that actually supports this type of work, that these are being implemented, these privacy by design, security by designs, as I just mentioned, that that's part of your organizational culture, that is not just a paper somewhere in a drawer, and you when you get into a trouble, you start to take the dust out of it. Rather, it's a way of working. So that's, I think, it's not a legal challenge. I think it's far more a leadership and an organizational element that needs to be in place. Another thing, which is not so much about legal yet either, but organizational, is that when you think about ethical issues that are related to use of AI, you need to have a culture in the organization where you can actually ask the hard questions, that those are being promoted and wanted, that there's an open dialogue, that people can ask the hard questions, and yet also a culture where you're looking that you find the solutions, because it's super easy to say you can't do something. It's far more harder to say, okay, here's a challenge. How do we overcome that challenge, keeping in mind the principles we need to adhere to? I think those are the more biggest challenges with any of these regulations.
If we push forward on these aspects of culture that you manage management and in innovation in CX and EX, what would you say organizations preparing for AI regulations or AI in general, the development, what should they focus on first to ensure that all of these responsible AI practices are taken into account, and how can they build a culture that supports these values besides, you say, asking those hard questions and giving the safe space to do so? But what should be the very first step and the steps that follow to get it into practice?
Yeah, that's true. So, I would say that first of all, you need to have a buy-in from the leadership. So this starts from the top, from the company, that this is actually under their radar, on the board meetings on a regular basis. For example, the security, cybersecurity in Europe, NIS2, is actually obligating the board members personally if they don't take certain actions. So board members and top leaders in the organization have to have this on their agenda. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is to start looking what kind of governance practices we have in place, because many organizations have certain governances in place already because of GDPR. So find out what how much you can reuse that governance and add new elements if it's not sustainable enough in order to take care of the AI Act related requirements as well. So have the governance in place. Then start to identify, okay, what are the processes and policies? And in this respect, you need to understand what is it that we have in our company, in organization. Map and identify where are you using that data, what type of data you have, what kind of AI systems you are using or planning to use. So it's all about just very basic kind of asset management, I would say. and then building the relevant process and policy to support the whole organization. Because once you are doing when you're innovating and you are crafting new solutions and products, you need to have guidelines for the employees to walk through what kind of things they have to keep in mind when they are doing this the building of a solution or a product, so that whatever the company is doing, that there would be a coherent way of getting it in place, not something that it changes day by day or depending on the mood or whether we are in a financial crisis or not. So really having that kind of solid from top to down and down to top kind of an understanding of the principles and the requirements, and then first and foremost educating your workforce, because that's just a must to get all of this in place.
Yeah, I can imagine the training is quite the, as upskilling people is quite the challenge here. What kind of ethical, you mentioned responsible AI and the ethical principles. So what kind of ethical principles do companies usually follow? Do they tend to use the same ones, taking them from I don't know, from the big companies and following them or these laws and regulations? Or maybe how can you help here?
Yeah, I mean, it's first of all, it's about the assessment to understand what's in place already. And often companies and organizations do have certain governance policies and processes in place, particularly when it comes to, for example, if I'm an actor that I'm procuring products and goods services beyond EU from countries where there might be labor concerns. You probably have some UN principles in place already that you are adhering. So that already gives you a kind of a backbone or a kind of a baseline where to build on. Now you just have to, with AI, start thinking about, okay, I have a product that is using sensitive data or a product that might be actually influencing some people's rights. Or I'm building a product like the recruitment tool. HR would like to use AI for, doing faster the recruitment process and scanning applications. You need to kind of like pause and think that, okay, this is in the high risk category. Can we actually do this? And if we can do this, what does it require from us? So the governance model helps the companies to go through that kind of process. And the ethical issues, I mean, these depend so much about the product. And there might be very interesting kind of dilemmas that you have to walk through. And I think Microsoft had an interesting public case where they were doing a pilot for the HoloLens type of a product for a blind child, and giving the blind child an opportunity to have social sensing, which they don't do because they obviously don't see what's happening around them. If you imagine a blind child walking on a street, they wouldn't know that every morning they are facing an older gentleman walking a dog, and they wouldn't know about that. But if they would have this sensing system, kind of a HoloLens type of equipment, that could actually tell them that there is an old gentleman walking a dog. Now, the one thing you have to then start thinking about privacy, where does it come into play? Do you need to have a consent? Okay, this becomes very complicated if you start thinking about, I have to ask consent every time the system is recognizing something. Are there other ways of getting this done? Finding creative solutions where you still adhere to those important ethical principles. So having value tensions will be normal when you go through different discussions for an AI product. And then how do you bring all the values into play, the inclusion, the privacy, the security, accessibility, that you do not just go with one value in lead, but actually bring all the values in the conversations. And that's where the hard conversations come into play.
I can imagine that. How would you say that companies can stay compliant while innovating with AI in CX and EX specifically? Do you have any examples other than from maybe this Microsoft example that where companies have effectively balanced innovation with the compliance in these areas?
I think they all start with the fact that they are doing their map their assets and systems of what do we have. That's really where it starts. And there's a lot of third-party solutions for that helps you to do the mapping. that helps you to identify the policy, that helps you to identify where you are going with your mapping and policy and what do you still need to do. So a lot of kind of new tools and service providers have come into market as well to help companies to put this in place. So you don't have to start everything from the scratch in that respect.
Can you mention some of the tools that could be, or service providers who could be helping with these issues?
maybe not going and promoting anything particular, but I know there are few Finnish actors as well who are doing, for example, GDPR and NIS2 compliance related. Was it cyber? Can't remember now the name of the company, but there are a couple of those that actually helps you to do the mapping part for sort of the data protection impact assessment type of a work for GDPR related elements. But you know, AI requires a very similar aspect as well. And if you have to do a data protection impact assessment, you also have to go through potentially the fundamental rights impact assessment under the AI Act. So there are actors like that that helps quite a bit, not just in Finland, but beyond Finland as well, because it's in high demand in every organization as we speak.
I'm wondering if there's, I mean, the Finnish kind of version of the act has not been put into place yet. So is there any kind of benefit from having a Finnish service provider help you with this governance as compared to some, I don't know, international competitor?
Well, the Finnish implementation will come. Everybody needs to follow the EU AI Act. So the Finnish implementation is more about who's going to be the responsible agencies overseeing the act in Finland. So it's not going to change the requirements per se. So in that respect, nobody should wait for the Finnish implementation. Nobody should wait for the upcoming further clarity on any standards. Rather, you should start doing the work already now. I think when you are choosing a provider for this type of tools that you want to get help on the governance model and the process and the policy, do ask the questions, are they only focused on EU? And if you are going beyond EU, then you might want to think through, okay, do we need separate understanding of what's happening in Japan, what's happening in Singapore, what's happening in Australia, what's happening in US? Because there's a lot happening in this area. They might not be as strict legal base as in EU. So likely, if you follow the EU Act, you're likely going to be okay elsewhere, but you shouldn't just blindly relying on that because there are countries who are putting different codes and conducts and standards in place as we speak.
There's been a lot of talk lately about how some of the major players, like Apple, for instance, is not going to be delivering some of their services at all within the EU region because they are so afraid, I guess, about the EU Act. But I don't see that complying to that should be a problem or a kind of barrier to these companies coming to over here. Or vice versa. How do you see the differences between what we do here in EU and the US, for instance, or Japan and Singapore that you mentioned there?
Yeah, I think EU is definitely from the most strictest point when it comes to the AI particularly and other regulation as well. So in that respect, I think EU is trying to impose through their own actions that the other countries would follow the lead. So far, not in the same sense, to be seen whether that will still happen. But at least the other countries, they are more like in Japan. I had conversations there already in 2017 about the AI and how they think about the regulation of AI. And at least that point, and I think they still are going to look into what EU is doing, but not necessarily going to the same strict aspect of the regulation because they do want to see. They want to learn. They want to see and learn how this technology is actually causing an impact and where is it causing an impact. And this way, they are hoping to ensure that their own domestic actors can innovate, that they are not too overly burdened with the regulation and the processes that we just discussed, and how and the work required to get that done. And you need regulation. You can't have just self-assessment completely in a technology like AI that is has such a huge impact. But maybe not going to the other extreme either is not good. I mean, few couple of years will show how this will play out in EU versus others. But there are concerns that it's a little bit too strict what EU has done. And I think maybe the strict is more from the point of view that no regulation will give you black and white answers. They will not tell you exactly what to do. And here comes the organization where the culture of organization that we started with. You need to have the culture of testing and trying and having a courage to fail and fix fast and have those processes and ways of working to do that as well. But if you are waiting to get the full clarity on every possible ethical and legal issues that you come up with, then the regulation is not helping. Because if your mindset is coming from the very strict point of view of doing things, then you're going to be left behind. So you have to have that culture of having enough flexibility. And I think US and the others are trying to push that way into the regulation while still regulating things in their own way. So it's not that they don't have any regulation.
Yeah. And this is coming, remember, this is coming sound advice from a lawyer's mouth that you need to just go ahead and do these experiments. Yeah, I think that it's definitely pushes kind of customer experience down if there are service providers who are willing or unwilling to come here and decide to j not just restrict the whole customer base over here over an EU act.
Yeah, I saw the Apple announcement. I didn't dive into too detail of it, but I kind of read it in a sense that they are not capable to do it right now. That they need to actually really mindfully go through their implementation and think through that none of the existing solutions that they have in place that they don't break. So it's not necessarily said that they never will, but it's more about the solutions will come later to Europe. And that's a challenge as well. If Europe is always the one who's last to get the stuff, then we're always going to be behind if we are reliant on the third countries providing the solutions. And that's another element that is being discussed and being discussed for a few years already, that the technological sovereignty. Well, let's not get there. That's very political, but that's clearly one aspect of it.
Actually, one thing that is a little bit political, maybe, but the Nordic ministers just signed a, I don't know, intent of some kind. That this was a big piece of news lately, that they want the Nordic countries to become the driver of the EU in artificial intelligence. How do you see this Nordic region becoming such an agent?
Well, I would definitely promote that they should. Not going to be necessarily an easy task. I think there's a lot of probably common thinking and elements in place. And at the same time, there are quite huge differences when you think about, for example, how the countries has been interpreting GDPR just the past 4 years. Some of the neighboring countries being quite strict on that interpretation. So you do have to find a very harmonized way of looking certain elements like GDPR and otherwise, because it impacts underneath how you then think about the AI as well. But I really welcome that. I mean, I would love to see Nordic building more cohesive way of interpreting things, innovating, being in the front. Influencing EU as well, actually bringing the use cases up and running faster than they might be running today.
Yeah, that's we have some very good examples from the past where the Nordic cooperation has been beneficial for all the countries and the world at large. But let's see what happens and what becomes of this pact, so to speak. Coming back to AI development in general, what would you say are some potential legal pitfalls that AI developers should be aware of? So now breaking away from these acts and everything, but rather in more generic terms, what specific risks and opportunities do you see for artificial intelligence in CX and EX?
Yeah, maybe I'm a bit bizarre lawyer because I usually want to look through the opportunities rather than too much focused on the risks, while at the same time you have to kind of adhere to compliance. I think what I see concerning dialogue that I see at the moment, let's put it rather from this angle, is that particularly if I look at like my profession, lawyers, we easily get hang. We usually get stuck with certain details. Yes, it's important we understand how the data has been trained. That's part of the EU AI Act as well. But if we get stuck with the copyright related elements, then we're going to have just the dialogue in a vacuum. Let's put it that way. Yes, there are issues. There are publishers in US who's been suing major actors such as Microsoft, not to, and others, but I'm kind of trustful for the fact that there will be solutions for these issues in the future as well. So not that whether it's about the copyright law being changed over time, or another way of finding a solutions for the issues that often comes through the legal discussion, at least when you're looking into this. Then rather than focusing on those, you should look into who am I using as a baseline, the Gen AI, who's my provider? What is my provider doing for responsible AI? Ask the questions from them. What is it that they are actually doing? Because if you're building into their large language models, you need to understand what they have implemented in the first place, because you are building on top of it. Now, many of them are already and have been doing this for years to implement the responsible AI type of standards. But ask the questions. Have those hard conversations. Look into the contractual commitments that they do. For example, if you're so concerned about these copyright related elements, some of them are actually providing you an indemnity on that. So that already tells you that they feel that there will be a solution for issues like that. And then start doing your own assessment on top of that, based on your own product and solutions, your own impact assessment, so to say. Based on the act, based on your own governance and your own processes and policies that you have as an organization. And that's how you, I think, you are going to avoid most of the pitfalls in the first place.
Very good. I think that anyhow, all of these regulations, they are meant for not to kind of harm the business and but rather support it. I mean, you mentioned at the beginning, at the top of our conversation, the customer trust, for instance, which is paramount in customer experiences. So what the EU AI Act is doing really is helping companies strengthen that customer trust. So I think that
Exactly.
it's very much has its place in this world.
Yes, I agree. And sometimes we make it ourselves too hard by getting stuck on certain things that, you know, this creative thinking of finding solution, because there's usually a solution, and you just have to push your mindset to find it.
I love it that you mentioned creative thinking. What we say is one surprising thing businesses often overlook, but that could have significant consequences when it comes to AI development and putting into AI into practicing within organizations.
Yeah, I mean, the innovation, there's a lot of discussion on AI about efficiency. I mean, obviously, it will provide efficiency benefits for many professions and organizations, but that's not going to be, bring the massive growth. I mean, it brings some growth, but the real growth really comes through the innovation that you start looking new ways of serving your customers, new solutions, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's where you would need to put far more emphasis as well. And I think not just pilot those things, but really try to solve a problem that somebody needs a solution for. I mean, isn't that the usual innovate something that somebody needs?
Yeah, that's something I've been talking a lot about in our AI, is that many of the companies currently, or most of the companies, are just doing these knowledge base related experiments, where they are just trying to make their agents more efficient than their call center agents, I mean, and sales personnel, and just sell more. Whereas I would love to see more innovation in the space of utilizing AI to actually create better customer and employee experiences. So that is definitely something where we definitely have room for improvement for innovation still. And when you're the company who does spearhead these things, then you're off for a good start there.
No, I totally agree on that, and I think one of the, if I'm looking at my own profession itself, there's a lot of different legal tech tools available there, from creating a contract, reviewing a contract, archiving a contract, signing a contract, and I think it's going to be interesting to see where the market is going to go, who's going to serve a lawyer, for example, in-house, so that that person doesn't have to go through multiple different hoops and loops and different apps and systems. So the easier you make it, that's usually what people want at the end of the day. We all humans, I think we are some to some extent lazy as well. So that's one innovation part.
Coming to think about innovation, there's one lawyer I know, at least in the of in the world, that actually tries whatever he can to make him kind of non companies not need or consumers need him anymore, because he's been working on this service called Do Not Pay, where he puts AI agents instead of the his clients' customers to negotiate directly with different service providers. For instance, for, I don't know, to get the internet services for a better subscription price or things like that. But he started really from these small things, where people were having parking tickets, and then they would have to negotiate about that and have some legal support for that. And that's kind of where he started his whole business, and now it's exploding here. But
Yeah, that's a very interesting, and I'm really looking forward when my own AI agent is going to do that stuff for me, whether it's calendaring a meeting with you, Sirte, or and we don't have to kind of worry about it. I mean, that's the work efficiency right there, where you don't have to do your kind of this meta work, and I think that's really where AI can help.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. I have my digital assistants, so whole army of digital assistants, like 20 or 30 of them, who are helping me in my everyday job. Being an entrepreneur is very, very useful, but also in kind of my personal life with language studies and stuff like that. I'm all into agentic AI, so very much looking forward to those things coming to our everyday. If we think about the future now, how do you envision the future of responsible AI in the next decade or so?
Oh wow, if I would know that, I think I would have a very lucrative business solution for that. I think we will probably see things that didn't go so well. We will see whether that's how easily those are going to be enforced. When you test and try, you will have failures as well, and I hope we just have an element of enforcement that enables certain failures to take place as well, because otherwise the innovation doesn't take place either. And there's a lot of discussion at the moment in EU specifically about the Draghi report, to be seen whether EU regulation, the way they regulate, whether that's going to change towards more maybe innovation friendly, yet keeping the responsible aspect. That's something we will see maybe within the next 4 to 5 years when this new commission is really starting. So there's a lot of, I think, open issues in the world. It's hard to predict, but I think which will not disappear is the fact that we actually do have to implement this technology in a responsible way, and we do have to have certain level of regulation, because we can't have a world where you have to, as a consumer or another corporate, rely on somebody's good heart or rely on that they're actually doing the right thing. And I think that's why we are having certain regulation in place in the first place.
What's the one key takeaway you'd like our audience here to remember about our discussion today?
Start working today to make sure you have your governance, your processes, and your policies in place. So govern, identify, map, and monitor.
That's very good advice. Can you share any resources for those who are looking to learn more about these topics that we have covered today?
I think there's plenty of different resources and articles. I think some of them are way too high level at the moment. So learn from your peers. Call me if you're having a conversation. I'm not saying I have all the answers either. This is something where we all are starting from the same baseline, more or less. So there are not ready-made answers. We have to figure those out when we are learning the questions and what the questions are. We need to then learn what the solutions are for those questions.
Okay, thank you. And how could our audience members get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more and maybe if they have any questions?
You can go to the Lysa's website and find my email address from there.
Okay, we'll put that into the show notes for sure. So thank you, Susa, very much for taking this time with us. It was a wonderful opportunity to have this discussion with you, and I hope that we'll get all of these issues and challenges solved, and everybody gets on board with and gets to innovate with AI in the near future.
Great. Thank you, Sirta, for inviting me to this podcast. Thank you. It is
Thank
my
you.
pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. We hope today's conversation sparked new ideas and insights on your AI journey. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe for more discussions with leading experts in AI, customer experience, and innovation. Join us next time as we continue to explore the transformative power of artificial intelligence.